I re- well, hey, that's what we'll do. We'll start taking online reservations.
Who's coming today? Where you sit?
$5 charge. If you come in today, this is where you sit.
What if they don't come? Then they get charged back.
They get charged. Still get $5.
Double.
$10.
Yeah.
In the collection place. Man, them seats we used to sit in down at...
In Brother Graham's.
Holly Heights. Goodness, man.
Oh. Well, Brother, I'm not... I know this, but... it's in Atlanta.
Yeah. Yeah, they're horrible.
His
yeah, they're horrible. Horrible. They're not good.
We're lying.
I know. That's why she didn't say who it was. Well, good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to be back in the saddle.
Amen.
So we are going to, by the guidance of the Lord, we're going to start through the book of Romans. So just Bible study. We might bring in some of what the prophet said. I apologize that my hooker-upper thing don't hook her up to my new iPad that Anderson and them bought me, but Richard's on the phone now, ordering me an adapter, so we'll have it on the screen next Sunday. And we'll be able to look at some of these words, because I want to look. I've been looking through the Bible and looking at the commentaries of what other people wrote, which is fine. You can do that. And we may bring in some other translations, or really not interpretations, but, you know, read a little bit more where we can understand it. But the book of Romans is the longest book that Paul wrote. So he really spent a lot of time writing. Because I'm going to give you a little history, because it makes you understand. See, I understood better what I was reading, even when I would go to, I think it's Bible.org. The guy has a real good, he doesn't give any doctrine. He just gives you what Paul did, where he was at when he did it. Because really, Paul had never been to Rome when he wrote to the Romans. He was in Corinth. He was in Corinth when he wrote this letter. So he had not made it to Rome yet, but he knew there was people in Rome that was Christians. So he was talking to them, and he was getting ready to go to Rome. Now, so he's never been there before, so he's talking to these people that are in Rome from Corinthians. So you're going to see a little bit of Corinthians mixed in, because remember, Corinthians is what? Book of correction. The Corinthians were, I mean, let's just be plain. We had a guy sleeping with his mother-in-law, with his stepmom, and not sleeping, but got married, and they all kind of messed up stuff when Paul got there. And even in Corinthians, where I read y'all a couple of Sundays ago, liars, you know, transgressors and all that. He had a big list. He said, such for some of you. Well, he had them in his congregation. So what he done was, is he... Luis sent us a message. What he done is he took and wrote these letters to the Romans and sent them to him before he come. So this guy had a good commentary, because I want you to look at, go through your Bible with me. Now, if you've got a Scofield Bible, you can read his footnotes, but that's okay. We won't do it today. But it's real strange that the Lord brought us into the book of Romans, because the book of Romans is in three parts. Chapter 1 through middle of chapter 5, Paul is speaking of justification. That ties in pretty good with what we're doing upstairs. Mm-hmm. Chapter 5, 12 through chapter 8, 39 deals with sanctification. And then 9 through 11 deals with the children of Israel, or them being reborn. And really, the book of Romans... Now, as we read this book of Romans, remember what Paul did. Paul went to the Old Testament and got the revelation to write all of his books. Yes. One of the commentators said this is the way it was positioned, because it's not the first epistle he wrote. It's about the fourth or fifth, or maybe even sixth. But it's in the order in the Bible right after the book of Acts. It's the first book. So right after the book of Acts, here comes the book of Romans. So the book of Romans is an exposition of the Old Testament. So Paul, what he's doing is he's taking the Old Testament, brought it in, and in his letters, because remember, these are physical letters that Paul writes to people. Okay? He wrote letters, like put it in the mail and send it to them. But once they picked it up and read it, the inspiration of God said, that's going into the Bible. That's how all this come to being, is they were letters written. Paul's not writing this to me and you, but it's absolutely the eternal word of God, so it is to us.
Yes.
Right? But that book of Romans is a total exposition of the Old Testament. So as we go through this, you need to keep this in your mind, because what helps me more than anything, I never liked somebody to tell me, well, this is just the way it is. I can't stand that. That's why I left home. Everybody can laugh. I don't like somebody to say this is the way it is. Well, why? Well, there's something behind this. So that's the same way with the book of Romans. The book of Romans, yes, the Bible, yes. But there's something behind this book that we, by the inspiration of the Lord, should understand.
Yes.
Not just, well, this is Romans 1. Remember, there was no chapters.
Right.
God had the scribes in the, whatever, 14th century or whenever it was, had them put these chapters, because you watch Paul. Paul takes a thought and he continues right on, and you would think, hey, we don't need to put a chapter 2. It's just a continuation. Because that letter never had chapters. It was a full written, and this was the longest letter that Paul wrote of any of his gospels. Because you're way over here in Romans like 16. So this is the longest book he wrote, the longest letter that he wrote to the people. And it's a wonderful book. I'm glad they put it right after the book of Acts, because the Holy Ghost fell. Now you see the book of Romans where Paul is taking the Old Testament and bringing it into the new. He did that same thing with the book of Hebrews. But I want us to understand now, as we read Paul, what he is writing, remember the Holy Ghost wrote this.
Right.
It wasn't Paul, but it was Paul.
Right.
Paul wrote it, and Paul was, he begins here, of Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So he knew that he was a separated person. He's telling you he wrote this, but he's writing this to you and I and the generation. That's what I love about the Word of God. You know, it doesn't matter. The world continues on 10 more years.
Right.
20 more years. This is still going to be talking to that generation of people.
Right.
So to me, that's the onion peel, the layers that you just keep pulling those little thin layers back.
Right.
And you can see into the Word of God. So let's read this now and go verse by verse. And like I said, not you so much. Let's look at this to apply it to our life. When we get into the book of Hebrews, Brother Branham mentioned Romans a good bit, but he really, you know, remember he went into the chapter of Hebrews and did a series on it. So we'll use a little of that, but I want us to see it. I want us to be able to see these things, okay? I want us to be able to know why God wrote the book of Romans to me and you, not to the Romans,
right.
Not to Paul.
Right.
But to me and you. Because I always go back to that quote. Brother Brown says, faith's final resting place is in the Word of God.
Amen.
If you can't take it back and look at it in the Bible, because remember, even Martin Luther loved the book of Romans. If you'll read his writings, I was reading them a little bit last night or yesterday. The book of Romans, Martin Luther loved the book of Romans, and you're going to find out why, because the just shall live by faith, Paul uses several times in this chapter. So Martin Luther really loved the book of Romans, and I haven't read his commentary yet, but he does have a commentary on the book of Romans, and I'm going to read it. And just show that, you know, this is not just... You got to look at the Bible, and that's why with the seals it become a brand new book. Because you look at the Bible, and you look on the surface, and you see God's talking to you. But now God's not talking to you just in baby form justification. He has got a higher form of justification. And then I like what Brother Ernie says, a true revelation of justification. That's where the part of you that didn't do it. That's where everybody's, the problem with the people is, remember, Brother Brown said you can't misplace the Word of God.
Right.
Okay? Can't misplace. You put it in its wrong place. So what people are doing now, even in the message, oh, I always was eternal, I come with this eternal seed. Just wait a minute. That will be revealed to you later. But you can't take away, I was thinking yesterday, I worked in the bee yard from like 9 o'clock till 8 o'clock last night and had a lot of time to think. But you can't take this like in the book of Romans and you look at it and you read it, but remember Martin Luther read it too. He read it with Martin Luther's revelation.
Right.
Yes.
Right? John Wesley obviously read the book of Romans in the sanctification part of his. But now as we have the seals opened up, we see a true revelation of justification. I always was eternal. I was.
That's right.
I was in the mind of God. Actually, I was this.
Yes.
Okay? Then I became the Word made flesh when I got born again. I was made flesh from mom and daddy. Human flesh. Carne, like the brother was saying the other night. Meat.
Yes.
That's in Spanish. Carne is meat. And that's what he was saying. She was just meat. This is all this is meat.
Right.
All right. But that one from the eternal was in the Word of God. You were in the Word of God. Listen, God had Paul write this because you were going to be here. God had Matthew write this so you could be in there. John, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That was written for everybody that's born again. They can put their name in that one scripture right there. Okay? So that's the way we're going to read this book of Romans. I want you to read it and remember one thing. That's what I can't get about these people, because you remember what you used to do.
Yes.
Right? We remember the things we used to do, and they weren't godly.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
So I can't take away salvation. You got to leave salvation where it is. This whole book is a book of redemption.
Amen.
Which redemption, I was thinking last night, redemption means something got lost.
Right.
You did.
That's right.
Something got lost. You got lost. So you were in a lost condition.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
Now, because you were in the mind of God, you could be redeemed.
Okay.
Remember, that's a quote, Brother Brown. Yeah. The only ones that are born again
were
even thought of in redemption, because redemption to me is what we're standing here now heading toward the change of the body. Mm-hmm. That's full redemption in the Bible. Right. Sure, you've got baby form redemption where people are redeemed, they come to justification, they die. They wait 1,000 years, they come up at the judgment, and they have to be judged by the works, and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right?
Amen.
All right, but they see, that's not good enough for us.
Right.
We know better.
Yeah.
More light has, like Brother Dale said, more light. That bug that eat that thing down has been exposed. We know who that bug is. Mm-hmm.
Right?
But that life and them roots come up, and then you and I, we've come through Wesley, come through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, now here where the word is that same one that was put in the ground is right at the end of the stalk now.
Okay.
This is us. We're not the shuck.
That's right.
We're that seed that's inside there. Alright, so that's what we come to. We can't look back and say we're two shoes.
Right.
Now we came from two shoes.
Okay.
When I got born again, I started as two shoes because I went through justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. And then the quickening of the life, because the life's in the seed. The life's not in the stalk anymore. The life's not in the... You watch corn. You take corn, watch it grow. Gets real green. But when the ears come out, stalk dies first, right?
Yes.
Then all this other... The seed dries up, and then you can plant it. You don't plant stalk. Stalk's dead. You don't plant the leaf. Leaves are dead.
Right.
The seed's what's got life in it. So that life came up through there, went out into the limb, down to that acorn, or whatever you want to call it. And the life's in the acorn. It's not in the limb. It's not in the tree for that acorn.
Amen.
You understand? When all this dies.
Yes.
So that's what we're at now. We're not doing away. You can't just all of a sudden walk out there and see an ear of corn laying on the ground. It just popped up out of the ground. No, it's got to come through two shoots.
Amen.
Then the stalk.
Amen.
Then the tassel. Then the corn. Alright? You don't just walk out there and plant one seed and walk out there and then you start seeing ears of corn laid on the ground. No, that ain't the way it is. Same way with the Word of God. It doesn't start where you just get everything dumped on you at one time.
Right?
It comes in layers. It comes in layers. But you know what? You gotta believe every layer.
That's right.
I mean, I've said before, no, we are believing something that we don't know happened.
That's right.
Did you know Jesus died? Do you know He rose?
That's right.
Do you know? I mean, did you go physically witness that? No.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have faith that that's what happened. And that's why I'm telling you that, because you got to read Romans and have faith. Paul says, have faith.
That's right.
Faith, faith, faith. Why? Because technically, Paul didn't see Jesus die.
That's right.
Right.
Technically, he never saw Jesus raised from the dead. Right?
Right.
He had to meet God.
Amen.
Yes.
It's like I said before, I want to ask these people that says that, you know, we had this eternal seed in us. Paul couldn't be persecuting seed if he was seed at that time. Amen?
Right.
Paul can't, bride can't persecute bride. Christians can't persecute Christians.
Amen.
And he calls them to blaspheme, and it's written in the Word, so we don't have to. We don't have to get a, well, maybe he said it. No, he wrote that he did. He caused them to blaspheme. He held the code of the Pharisees when Stephen was stoned.
Amen.
Well, Paul had a purpose. Paul had a seat of representation. But that Holy Ghost wasn't inside of him.
Right.
And I want to ask these people too, while I'm on my soapbox.
Hit that.
I'm going to. I want to know where, if you always was and you just come to this realization, what about justification? What about sanctification?
Right.
What does the Holy Ghost do? Well, I want to understand, because Brother Ram always give the three steps.
Yes.
Exactly.
So see, I'm just going to be ignorant enough to that,
okay,
that they're preaching,
mm-hmm,
ignorant to that, and come back to this.
Amen.
And know that Paul preached justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost.
Right.
Peter preached justification, sanctification.
Exactly.
Each person preached justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So as long as we stay there, and then Brother Brown, like I said, on Future Home, after the seal's open, he said, I taught the three processes of grace. I don't see where you can fit three processes of grace in if you just woke up one day and see, it's just like I said about the, what they're saying is one day you just woke up out in the field and you were a ear of corn laying on the ground. No. Two shoots, stalk, tassel, corn. Two shoots. It's like Daddy said, I was thinking the other day, when he said that, doesn't matter who's on this earth at this moment, right today, doesn't matter. Rich, poor, young, old, doesn't matter. We all were birthed the same way, naturally. Naturally, we all were birthed the same way. We came from an act, from a mama and a daddy. We know the rest of the story. So there's no difference in us as human beings. So that's the same way with the new birth. When you get the new birth, it's got to be the same.
Amen. That's right.
It's got to be the same. Sure, you may have a reaction, an emotion. I'm talking about, though, you got to go through justification, sanctification, burn out that old nature,
amen,
and put God's nature in.
Yes.
Now, to me, that fits the Bible from, like the old man said, from kibber to kibber.
Right?
And even the kibber is holy. Alright, that's what he said, you know. So I just, if you'll go through that though, because you know what happens, you watch this. Because we're going to see it in Romans. You watch the heady and high-minded people that says, I always was eternal, and they jump way over here. They leave the message. They go into more false doctrine. They have affairs. There's a lot of things happen to these people that preach this, I was this great seed when I was born, when I was a baby, you know, and I didn't need all this other stuff. But if you'll stay right here in simple justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost, you will never go wrong.
Amen.
Right.
You know why? Because God can't go against His Word.
That's right.
So if He does, you can stand there and call Him a liar.
That's right.
But see, they can do that because they're going to realize one day that, hey, I should have went to justification, sanctification, and Holy Ghost, okay?
Right.
But if we go through those three processes, you cannot go wrong. So Paul, right here after the book of Acts, with the Holy Ghost falling on the day of Pentecost, through the book of Acts, here's Paul working. All right, you got that? Paul's working, even into, it's, it says AD 62, but the book of Romans was written in AD 60. So he wrote it during the commentary of the book of Acts, because the Holy Ghost fell. Well, when the Holy Ghost fell, Paul didn't say, Lord, who art thou? But wait a minute, I've always been eternal. No. He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, who you persecuted, which was in them Christian people. And Paul had to go find somebody that had the Holy Ghost.
Right.
To lay hands on him to get the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Amen. So I just don't understand. I want to stay with the simplicity of these three works of grace. Even we see them in the higher form of the seals, that it's still the same.
Right.
Amen.
Justified freely.
Yes.
Amen. All right, so the writer of the epistle was Paul. We're going to get this commentated. Then we're going to read just a few verses. Is that all right?
Yes.
I want you to pray that God will speak to you through these, through the Scripture.
Yes.
I want to change my thought process here. I told you that if I ever was put somewhere and couldn't get anything but one book, I always say it would be the Future Home.
Right.
I disagree. Give me the Bible.
That's right.
Give me the Bible.
Okay.
Right. Give me the Bible. I know that's good, but give me the Bible. Because this is the Word of God from keeper to keeper. And I can sit and read it. And we ought to be able to preach and not say Brother Brown said.
Right.
Because you know what he has is, though, what he brought is a knowledge. Let me put it this way. He brought a perfect understanding of the Bible.
Right.
So we don't question.
Right.
What's going on? Like other commentators. Right. We God spoke through him to us.
Amen.
God spoke directly through him. Just like a 4-inch conduit pipe. Yeah. Click on the inside, but it come right into Brother Brown and right out of his mouth. And it fell on a bunch of believers. But now what we got to do is we can't be mockingbirds.
That's right.
We can't be mockingbirds.
That's right.
Well, I heard a preacher one time tell me he was a mockingbird for Brother Brown. I said, okay, buddy, and by the way you preach, that's pretty much exactly correct. But you got to get it for yourself.
Amen.
That's right.
Parrot.
Parrot.
Yeah.
Yes. Parrot. Okay, that's right. You hear it, Dave? A parrot.
I heard what he said.
Yeah. Yeah, I said he's a parrot. Parrot. I can't do it, no. He give you a voice. He give you understanding. Now, we had to listen to the voice, no doubt.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But God's going to always speak to you through the Word.
Amen.
Now, if we have a question in the Word, He sent us a prophet to bring it and line it back up.
That's right.
So that's what He did with Paul. Paul went to the Old Testament. Because remember, you got to look at the... And I'm just going to give you a basis for this. You got to remember, put yourself... I like to put myself in the day that these people wrote this.
Okay.
Because you got to remember, same way with Brother Branham. When he first started his ministry, he had Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, Presbyterian. He had a kaleidoscope of denominations sitting. And he had to preach to each one of them. That's why he said one time, let's stand up and address the third person of the Trinity. Well, he wasn't addressing his third person. He was addressing their third person.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
Now, you couldn't be saying, let's address the third person of the Trinity and him never being Trinitarian ever in his life.
That's right.
Right?
So he was preaching to them, just like Paul. I watched a movie about Paul a long time ago. And they did a real good job. I want to watch this new one and see if it does the same thing. But Paul, remember, he was a Jew, but he was a scholar. And he knew how to handle people. When he went in and walked into Corinth, he didn't have a baseball bat and start knocking their idols down. The movie shows Paul walking into the city of Corinth, and they've got their idols. And well, Paul starts playing with the kids. He's out in the playground. The kids are playing, and he's playing. He plays their little rock games, and he starts doing that. And then he starts talking to the parrot. A lot better. You can get more out of honey. You know, you can catch more honey than you can with vinegar. So he walks in and he gets comfortable because remember, the Corinthian people, they were idol worshippers. They were whoremongers. They did what they wanted to do.
That's right.
So Paul didn't come in and start knocking stuff over. He started playing with the kids and you see him, you know, he'd sit down, talk to the parents, you know, so he kind of eased his way in. Same way with the Romans because remember, when we start reading this, you got to remember the book of Romans, where is the seat of Satan? You say, oh no, it's in the end time. Well, it started back there.
Exactly.
So Paul is going into a group of people that still is living under the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Old Testament scrolls, they live by that Torah, they live by the prophets, they live by this. Now he sees a conversion because remember, the book of Acts started on what, 80-30, there at the day of Pentecost. So for 60 years, now you got to discount Paul persecuting the people. For one thing, for several years he persecuted the Christians. Then he became a convert. So you got AD 60 when he wrote this. He's like 30 years in his walk with God. So he's still looking at these Jews, because he's going to cover circumcision, uncircumcision. He's going to cover clean idols, and you know, he's going to cover all that. He's going to cover the Holy of Holies. He's going to cover the sacrifices. So once he covers that, you got to remember. You say, well, we don't do that anymore. Yeah, we got idols and all that stuff. Please, please. We just don't have them. We just don't have them like they had them, where they set them up and pray to them. No. No, we have all of our different idols that we have that take up our time, because an idol worshiper is something that worships an item that's set before him. You know? That's why we have to have faith in something we don't see. We got to have faith. Most people, and you'll see, I think maybe in Paul or in Romans or Hebrews, he talks about things not made from the earth and all that stuff. So let's just read a few verses here. Chapter 1. So Paul is speaking now from Corinth to the Romans. And remember, this is going to be sectioned off from Romans 1 that we're going to read now to Romans 5. So maybe you can read Romans 1 through 5. That is speaking of justification. And even you're going to pick it up in your Scofield. Scofield, even over on Romans 5:12, speaks of sanctification. So we'll get into that. And I like to read the other commentaries. I don't like to just, you know, take what one person. Brother Brown did. He read all kinds of commentaries of different people. But see, if I have a question, I know I don't go to Dobson or... Nothing against those men, but I don't go to them because they're not vindicated to me. I didn't say they weren't vindicated. They're not vindicated to me. The prophet of God's vindicated to me. So I go back and listen to what he said. And what he said, you still got to run through your filter.
Yes,
that's right.
Because remember, he's speaking to a worldwide group. But now remember, see, God starts whittling this away. That's why in 1963, he says, I call you bride. He starts talking to the bride. He don't talk to the denominations, because he said he saw that they were done.
Right.
Even though he preached to them, even though he went to them, man had all kind of brotherly love. He'd go preach to them people knowing they hated him.
Yes, he did.
But just because Jack Moore or whatever that other guy's name is, the Christian businessman guy, they hated Brother Branham. You listen, many people tell you they didn't like him, but because of Carl Williams. Just because of Brother Williams having so much influence, he'd get Brother Branham in to preach to them. Because that's who he was preaching to, them 300 preachers in Chicago. It was a ministerial association through the Christian businessmen.
That's right.
He spoke to them, and 300 of them didn't believe a word he said. Right?
That's right.
Because the angel of the Lord said they're going to challenge you on that, you know.
Right.
So he went anyway. Same way with Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul, you can see Paul get stoned.
Yes, he does.
They had to let him down off of a big old high ledge to get out of a city one time. Because, boy, you know, he was going against their religion. So, all right, chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, so he's positioning himself, all right? Called to be an apostle. That's my question. Are you called? You're called to do something, all right? I know many are called, few are chosen. But if you have a calling, you need to use that calling. Because Paul's using his right. Watch. Separated unto the gospel of God. Now, remember, the gospel hadn't been wrote yet. They wasn't a stitch of Bible written in AD 60.
Right.
He was writing it.
That's right.
Luke was writing it.
Yes.
They were writing it at the moment.
Right.
So the gospel of God wasn't a written piece of parchment.
No.
The gospel was power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost through the people.
Yes.
Right? I mean, people had to pay attention.
They did.
Yeah.
They didn't have a internet to go back on or go back and listen because you slept through half of the service. You know, no, they got what they got sitting there listening to a preacher. And, you know, I don't think they had tablets or anything either. They had to remember it. Because
yeah.
It was the power of God and salvation. They knew it had changed them. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to watch this now. Let's watch this one thing. Brother Dale brought this out a long time ago. Look at this. Watch Paul's writing. It's a word called interpolate. Or interpolating. Interpolating is not that he is interpreting. What he's doing is, every time you see parentheses, look at chapter verse 2. What he's doing is he makes a statement. Paul makes a statement. Then he's going to not interpret what he said, but he's going to add a little more so you can understand what he just said.
Okay.
Is everybody okay with that? Mm-hmm. Everything you look in parentheses, what happens is Paul is writing. Watch, Paul's servant. Let me read it like it should be. Or, well, let me read it like without the parentheses. Excuse me. Paul's servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David. See, you can miss something right there. He interpolates in verse 2. See the parentheses?
Yes.
Watch. Now let's read it like I said. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. That's a comma. Now he's going to tell you why he just said what he did, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Goes back to the Old Testament. Got that?
Yes.
So the gospel of God he's talking about, sure, it's the gospel he's preaching. But Paul's saying, my foundation is what them apostles and prophets spoke. That's why he's interpolating. He's telling you, it's not just the gospel of God. It's the gospel of God which he had promised afore by his prophet. And that, if you got a Scofield Bible, that by is interpreted as through. Which he had promised afore through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. All right, so that's the Old Testament, because the Holy Scripture we're reading was not written at that time. All right, because see, there's a comma there. See, see that comma's not a period, so he didn't finish a thought. He's continuing a thought. And you'll watch Paul, we'll go through here in a minute, he might go four verses and it be in parentheses. But what he did, what he done was, he's telling you, he's explaining why he said what he said. And it makes it more plain to us. You know what I believe? I believe Paul's writing this and God said, you better say this right here.
Okay.
To get the people to understand better. You better say this right here. Okay? Alright? Paul's servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Alright? Concerning his son Jesus Christ. Now that's, the whole Old Testament's full of Jesus Christ. The prophets are telling us that Jesus Christ is coming, right?
Yes.
Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now remember, he had no fleshly part, but when God was in the Old Testament, he had to deal with flesh.
Right.
Everybody all right with that? Because he couldn't get into the soul of man. He dealt through the flesh of man. Got it?
Yes.
So that's what he's saying. He said, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Because what he told David, under inspiration by the prophets, he said, David, in other words, this is going to come from your lineage. Because I really love you, David.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have a son. Yes. Wasn't Solomon at the time, but you see, you got to have, Scripture has dual meaning.
Right.
His son was Solomon, and did a very good job until the very end of his life.
Yes,
right?
Right.
But see, that's why I didn't. People in the Old Testament, see, if Solomon would have had Holy Ghost in his soul, he'd have never let two women turn him into idolatry.
Right.
David wouldn't have had Uriah killed for Bathsheba. You see what I'm saying? So there's the flesh part in the Old Testament that you got to keep there. Because God couldn't get in the soul to turn the man.
That's right.
Right? Because the blood of bulls and goats covered what he did.
Yes.
Now sure, they were justified. They were, you know, God didn't see it. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, that is from David, not to Solomon, but from David to Christ. Because he said, David, you'll always have this one on the throne. So it had to be a natural lineage, and you can read in Luke. What is it? Luke and Matthew, I believe. Look at the lineage. It brings it right down to Christ, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay. But remember, it had to stop at Joseph in the reality form, because Joseph had no seed.
No.
I mean, Jesus had no seed of Joseph.
Right.
Okay. But according to the flesh, see, now look, Here we are again. We may not ever get through this chapter, but that's okay. You look at Paul. Paul is speaking to a group of people.
Yes.
And he's telling them, look, the Old Testament was a fleshly thing. Do's and don'ts. The law. Right. Now what he's going to do, you watch him in Romans, though, a little bit further down. He starts bringing them through the law. Brings them right back out to grace. See, Paul didn't just start, bless God, this is the way it is, and you're going to have to believe. No, he's... I know y'all know the Old Testament. That's what he's saying to his group of people. I know y'all know the Old Testament.
Right.
Right.
Okay. And the Old Testament was a fleshly lineage.
That's right.
But now I'm fixing to later on, I'm going to give you, and we'll read it in a little while, because watch this right here, verse 4. He's, according to the flesh, you got all this coming down to Jesus. Now, Paul knows for a no shadow of a doubt that Jesus was not born of Joseph or no human lineage.
Amen.
He's a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Paul knows Jesus was virgin born.
Mm-hmm.
God produced the egg and the germ, right?
Yes.
That's right?
But he says right here, he's talking to that group of people, said, look, now according to the flesh, David's going to have a son that'll be on the throne. Because remember, Christ didn't come here to sit on the throne of David when he was here in flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's promised in the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not here. That's promised in the millennium. It's where he'll sit on the throne of David, ruling the 12 tribes. There's that gap of Gentile dispensation that Christ didn't come here to sit on the throne, physically. Right?
Right, right.
He never wanted to... He would touch flesh, but he wanted to get inside them people. Because
yes.
He said, when I leave and I come back, I'm coming in you. I'm going to be with you, but I'm going to be in you. I'm not going to be around you. I'm going to be in you.
That's right.
Right? So that was the part that Paul's looking for here. Watch, verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, what? By His resurrection. Alright, so now He's took it from outside to the inside, because if the flesh didn't resurrect itself.
That's right.
Is that alright? The flesh of Jesus laid in that tomb for 2 days, dead, cold, getting ready to corrupt. Didn't corrupt, but getting ready to corrupt. Dead. Cells were dead. Organs were dead. Brain was dead. So there had to be something. Because what Paul's saying, he says, all right, now all you in the Old Testament, your sacrifices, they died, but you never saw them come back. They didn't kill a lamb, and the next day the lamb was back alive again. No, they were dead. But now right here, by the resurrection from the dead, right there, buddy, he sparked it to a group of people that it's not these sacrifices. Sure, there's a fleshly lineage, but you got to get away from that and come back to the lineage of that man that resurrected. Because like I said, Jesus' flesh body never resurrected itself in itself. It had to have something. The quickening power, the prophet said, the quickening power. What? The same quickening power you got in you. Because Paul over here in Romans, he's going to say the same Spirit to raise up Jesus from the dead to raise and quicken your mortal body. All right, so he's going to continue his thought. Everybody all right with this? One more scripture and then we'll... I want us to get done pretty quick here. All right. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace. Now watch, there wasn't any grace in the Old Testament. Yes, there was, but according to the people that saw it, there was no grace.
Right.
You either put this lamb on there, and when that lamb died, you got forgiven, and this lamb here, and that turtle dove, and you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now watch here. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, what? For His name, Jesus Christ. Alright, among whom are ye also? Now he said he was called up in verse 1.
Yes.
Called to be an apostle.
Yes.
Separated. They're like, oh, Paul, you got the big head. No, listen to his sermon. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? Alright, to all that are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to take that word and put even. And you'll understand that he wasn't a Trinitarian. That grace be unto you, peace from our God our Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. We'll stop right there. Now, there was a faith that the Romans had that nobody else had. Now, that's kind of hard to believe because they're sitting over there in Rome. But they had to have more faith because, listen, I was thinking last night, look at the Roman Empire. I mean, they conquered the world.
Right.
And they weren't nice people.
No. Right.
They came up with all this crucifixion and all these things of torture came from Rome. Yeah. The Romans.
Right.
So they're sitting in Rome being Christians and living the life kind of like the fourth church age where those Christians were living in the dark ages.
Right?
Giving their life for the gospel, and here was Rome again,
right.
Took over. But you read in the Bible on the fourth church age where they, you know, in other words, I've not forgot you. You got enough faith to get through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said the Bible now, even reading the book of Romans, I can put all first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, keep going. Okay?
Amen.
So that's what I want you to do. You expand your horizons a little bit. Let's go for it. Lord bless you. We'll keep up. We'll stay on one. Till we get done with it. Then we'll go to chapter 2. There's more chapter.
Amen.